Hey everyone, this is Scott Lilwall and welcome to Approximately Correct, an AI podcast from AIME. Today we've got another sidebar episode for you. This is where we share some of the shorter stories from the world of AI. In this episode, we explore the research of Xinyu Li. She joined AIME as a fellow last year. Xinyu's focus is in computer vision and health analytics, so she's worked on things like using AI models to detect anomalies in medical imaging, security and deep learning, and some other fascinating areas. She recently sat down with Adam White, who's another fellow and AIME's director of scientific operations, and they had this great chat about her work, how to do AI in medicine while still protecting patient privacy, and where she sees machine learning in the future of healthcare. So here's Adam and Xinyu.
Welcome, Xinyu. It's really nice to have you here today, and I'm really excited to talk about your research.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you for having me here.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about your research? Like, give us like the 30-second elevator pitch about what you work on.
So my current research mainly focuses on the data-efficient learning, especially for the good and robust representation, because we know that data scarcity is a general issue, especially for medical imaging and medical analysis. So how to learn a robust and good representation is more challenging compared to the traditional supervised learning, as well as a big data unsupervised learning. So right now, my focus especially focuses on anomaly detection and naturally attend to the open set problems. I think it's a good way to pave the road to the general real case to process the data.
What inspired you to go down this path of research, like your particular application area? What drew you in?
Okay, so actually it's a long history. So during my PhD, my research at that time focused on the medical image analysis. And we found that if we want to do the statistical pattern recognition at that time, it is not easy to grab a lot of data. So it means that do a lot of things are very difficult, especially when you need to get first approach to the doctors, get the data, but the data itself, it's very small. So we found the data scarcity is an issue. That's why it's motivated us to know that, oh, okay, what we can do. And I find if I focus on the medical image analysis and medical data analysis, a lot of issues cannot be solved. Rather, we need to go deep into the fundamental problem of machine learning, transition my focus on the application scenario to the core machine learning, representation learning, to tackle the problems from the very end, and then adapt what I might discover to the medical image analysis. So that's why the focus is more about methodology, but I'm still very welcome to collaboration for the medical data analysis and as well as the healthcare data analysis.
Can you tell me about some of the challenges in collecting the data in the medical application compared to like what we usually see in machine learning where we get it from images on the internet or video games like we do in reinforcement learning? Yeah. What's it like getting data in the medical analysis world?
Privacy. This is the first thing. When we collect data, we need to get agreement from the patient, the first step. And second thing is that some of the data when we collect is very noisy. We need to somehow to process the data in some kind of format. The third one for medical is that compared to the nature image usually captured by the camera, the RGB format, in medical, there are a lot of modality. So different modality, different organs actually correspond their own characteristic. Of course, we can mix them together, but we need to tackle the domain issues here.
The machine learning community has kind of been turned upside down by large language models, ChatGPT, all those kind of things. How is that manifesting in your field and in your research?
Oh, right now, it shows a lot of potential, actually. I think it's a good thing because for large model, not necessarily the language model, the foundation models, including the SAM, the CLIP, and so on and so forth. So all this, in my opinion, all these foundation models can behave like Wikipedia or the dictionary. We need to tackle something which we don't have a lot of data. But there were a lot of knowledge actually condensed in these foundation models. So efficiently explore these foundation models actually drift a lot of insight to the downstream task. For example, what we want to do, we need to somehow guide the design the strategies and machine learning algorithms to guide the large language model to extract the corresponding knowledge and insight and put this insight just to ingest to the downstream task. We recently just submitted one paper to AAAI about using CLIP to do the zero-shot anomaly detection. Because for anomaly detection, usually we said we just need the normal samples. We learn what is normal. But with a lot of knowledge in the big data, actually, what is normal is just embedded there because it's trained a lot of data online. Most of them, if we need to categorize them, they are normal already. So all the information is there, how to use this information to zero shot. Right now, the performance is quite surprised. Just give a specific example for anomaly detection for particular data set, for example. Their SOTA performance 97, and for zero shot, we can get 94, 95. So it's quite close, zero shot, using the big data. But sorry, using the foundation model, big model. You can say it's zero shot, but you can say it's another kind of supervision without a specific focus. So I think it's improved a lot, especially I see a lot of potential on the using the foundation models on the open set problems. So that is the focus of my research right now in my group.
Thinking at the future, thinking about where research is going, what do you think is going to be a big challenge over the next 10 years in your field that you think that the field is going to be really focused on it and maybe that you can even contribute to?
Okay. So for me, I think large models, especially the generative models, will say something it may not realize. It means that sometimes we say the large language model is very powerful, but it does not really know the knowledge it knows. We say that when you know what you know and you know what you don't know, it's real wisdom. But for large language model, I don't think it's have that capability. So I think this is a big issue because when the model knows that, or we say the knowledge self-awareness, once the model knows that, then it know what it doesn't know. He can either stop saying things that I don't know, or it turns to learn more from the extra resource. And this is one thing. Another thing is that also helps to solve the problem of open set problem. Because for discriminant models, it also have quite similar limitations. The model, once we train the model with supervised learning, for example, the classifications, once we give unknown categories, it doesn't know this. So that's why it still give a lot of high confidence to do whatever. So actually it's obvious this is the model doesn't seen before. My target, my vision is somehow, because my research right now I focus on anomaly detection out of distribution novelty detection, actually it can directly apply to solve this issue somehow. For example, for the generative models, once it generates something, we can use anomaly detection to see, okay, if the generating model is as expected, because it will give some examples to regulate models or give feedback during either fine-tune or downstream tasks. And also for the discriminant models, it's quite straightforward. We detect whether this query is have been seen or not seen, and feedback to the models to train and regulate its either the predictions and so forth. So this is the very, very first step of thinking to solve these issues. But I think once the model have the knowledge self-awareness, actually, it's just paved the road to there is a closed loop. The model knows what it knows and generate the knowledge based on what it knows. And also the model knows what it doesn't know. So give a feedback to learn and get more powerful models. So I think this closed loop will boost the AI to its self-learning capability. So that's why I think it's one big challenge, but still I think I can contribute through my own past experience.
That sounds awesome. My last question is, imagine your research program goes really well over the next 5 years and you have a successful Nature paper about it.
Wow, okay.
What is that Nature paper about?
Right now, when I imagine, it's about how to build the system knows it knows and how to aware what it doesn't know. So in philosophy, it's more about like a human, I knows what I know. And for machine, because we say that we drive a lot of knowledge there, but how to help it to realize what's inside in his mind. I think that is very interesting topic, and hopefully a lot of people can realize that and accept that concept.
Thank you very much for that wonderful chat. It's been great having you here today.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you.
Now we've got a video version of that conversation on our YouTube page if you want to see it. That's at youtube.com/AmyThinks. Now, if you want to know more about the future of AI in medicine, that's one of the things that we're working on for our Upper Bound conference in May. That's our chance to bring industry leaders and researchers and really anybody who's got an interest in AI to Edmonton. Then we connect, we learn, and honestly, we have a lot of fun while we're doing it. So if you want to join in, we do have passes on sale right now. And if you're listening to this in March, early bird passes are available. You can head to upperbound.ai for that. And that's all we've got for this episode. We're going to be back in a couple of weeks with another one, and we hope to see you there. If you do want to catch every episode, you can subscribe to us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, really anywhere that you get your podcasts. That's it for me. Take care. This has been Approximately Correct.